Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5. It'll be our concluding message from the book of James. Last Sunday, we concluded the sermon with the most in-your-face verse concerning one's Christian walk. Do you remember that verse found in James, chapter 4, and verse 17? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Some believe that liberty gives license to do whatever you want. How often we have heard, it's a free country, do what you want. This, of course, is a lie. With laws come obligations. Henry Morris, in his July 4th Days of Praise devotional, said, "Some today, seeking license rather than liberty, might recoil at the very idea of the thought of the law of liberty, calling it an oxymoron or contradiction of terms. Yet Jesus said, 'The truth shall make you free,' John 8:32. Again, we read in 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. And again in James chapter 1, verse 15, we read, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, not freedom. Liberty to defy the law of gravity is foolish, as is to disobey the laws and teachings of the Word of God." Unquote. Just because the law of the land gives one's license to drink or to take recreational marijuana or marry someone of the same gender, etc., does not make it right in the eyes of the Lord. Just because you can do it does not mean you should do it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Would you please stand, if able, and we'll read from the book of James, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. James, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to be here today. Bless, we pray, the words that we'll be using, hoping that, Lord, the Spirit would move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll begin reading at verse 7. Beginning at verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, or complain, Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. In this epistle, by the half-brother of Jesus, James gives common sense teachings about life. Would you say that common sense isn't very common? You know, there are a lot of people that do a lot of silly things. Maybe you've seen one of those videos on television where people have done some outrageous things on skateboards or roller skates or jumping into pools. And, you know, you think to yourself, common sense says don't do that. And common sense then says don't let someone video while you're doing it. And then the third part of common sense says burn the evidence. But he is trying to convict the born-again believer to walk a godly life. If walking a godly life was simple, we wouldn't need to meet every Sunday morning. But it's not easy to live a godly life. We are being pulled from many different directions. The fact is that if you live a godly life, you make other people feel uncomfortable. If you live a life that glorifies the Lord, you'll find that you'll lose out a lot of friends, or so-called friends, because they'll feel uncomfortable around you and will not want to be around you. And many times, even within churches, you'll find that certain people are pushed off to the side because they create issues because other people feel uncomfortable around them. But James is trying to convict people to live a godly life. He wants to encourage us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He wants to remind us that though we live in the world, we are not to act like the world. We are not to join in the activities that are not honoring to the Lord. He admonishes us not to be double-minded. He comforts us by saying, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Have you ever been going through a difficult time in your life and said to the Lord, I did not pray for patience? Because sometimes life can be tedious. It can be difficult. He advises us that faith without works is dead, and that the tongue is a little member, a fire that is set on fire of hell, and that we need to tame it. The taming of the tongue, we talked about it a month or so ago. Is taming the tongue easy? Sometimes you have to bite your tongue, right? Yes, and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes that half a second, because it's usually how long it takes to say something, that half a second, you'll find out was not worth it. We are to tame the tongue. He lectures us that we are to submit ourselves to the Lord. We are to draw nigh to God and to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, all the while resisting the devil. Common sense thoughts for the believer. Now in chapter 5, James is nearing the end of his epistle, and the warnings continue as he confronts the rich who mistreat their employees, as he talks about the fact the day of the Lord is drawing near. And then in verse 11, he says, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. And we all know the story of Job and how that on one day he lost everything he had. except his wife. And a wife should be there to encourage, right? And yet she simply discouraged. In James 1, verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And now in chapter 5, 11, we count them happy which endure. Life is full of trials, struggles, and challenges. The other day I was going up to the library there at the Clinton Macomb area. Thank you for you that live in Clinton and Clinton Township and Macomb Township. You have such a nice library. I really appreciate it. And I get out of the car and I've got some things in my hands and I'm walking boldly up to the library. You know what I forgot? My mask. I got all the way to the door. You know what was on the door? Oh, you must wear a mask. So what did I do? Walk back to the car, get the mask. Was I happy? You ever notice how you grumble over the silliest of things? Any of you ever grumble over silly things? Please tell me some of you grumble over silly things. Thank you. Thank you. You know, there are the little things. Some would say we're going through trials right now. This is different than we've ever gone before. I mean, trials. And then we're going through them. There are struggles. I tell you what, we were talking about Tammy's mother falling at 75 years of age and breaking her hand, her wrist. Is that going to be a struggle for a 75-year-old woman? Yeah. Struggles. Now, you want to talk about struggles, and Kay, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you brought home your mother-in-law. 77, brought her home from Florida, and she's living with you now. Struggles? Yeah. That's a whole new ball of wax. There are trials and struggles in our lives. How about challenges? Challenges. Name me a challenge. Taking care of a new puppy. Yes. I almost lost the wife because of a new puppy. Yeah. Three new puppies. Can you imagine three puppies chewing on your furniture? Chewing on your molding? Challenges. Thank God it's only one. Yes. Anyone else? Challenge? Dieting. Did you have to bring up that one? Dieting. Do you ever hate looking in the mirror? The other day I was walking by a window and there was the reflection. And I thought, I wonder who that is. You knew who it was? It was me. Oh, that was discouraging. Yes. Any other challenges? Renovating a house. Are you good at it?
No.
Yes. Renovating a house has a lot of challenges. There's no doubt about it. How about the word cholesterol? Is that a challenge? How about diabetes? High blood pressure. Yes. Yeah. Challenges. We count them joyful that can endure. Life is full of trials, struggles, and challenges. But our Lord has said that He will never leave us nor forsake us. It is our weakness, or in our weakness, that we can see that the Lord is working. The Apostle Paul wrote, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Let's begin reading at verse 16, if you would, please. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah in the Old Testament, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Righteous means being virtuous, ethical, moral, upright, honest, devout, faithful. I think we need some righteous politicians. Don't you think politicians should be righteous? Yes? Sure. Elijah was such a man, he prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Do you think Elijah was a wanted man? And he prayed again and it rained. Brethren, if any do err from the truth, and one convert him, convince him of his need of salvation, he has done a good thing. He has saved a soul from hellfire. And Jude says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You've heard me pray, Lord, save that one that is nearest hell today. Don't buy the lie that a loving God will never send a good person to hell. Have you heard that before? That God won't send a good person to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. What sends people to hell? Sin. Our sin will send someone to hell. But he has provided a way of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. There's one way into heaven. So why are there those who say, well, there are multiple ways? In fact, all ways, all religious ways lead to heaven. Who's behind that lie? Satan's behind that lie. He's a counterfeiter. He is the father of liars. Jesus said that he was the way. Jesus is God, right? God the Son. And he said, I am the way. He didn't say there are multiple ways. Just figure out one of them that you like. No, he said, I am the way. Take your Bibles and quickly turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. Familiar words. In fact, most of us probably could quote John 3, 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If there were other ways, God the Father would have said, my Son came, but there are other ways. No, there is but one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. It is not through religion. It is not through baptism. It is through Jesus Christ and him alone. Notice verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he was not sent to condemn the world because the world was already what? Condemned. Sin. You know, one of the problems we have with sin is we get used to it. But when a holy God looks at a sinful person, he sees their sin. He sees their sin. Notice verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And please notice verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God. Ponder this. Man is sinful. He needs a Savior. God the Son says, I'll go. God the Father says, yes, that is what's necessary. He comes, he dies, and men dare reject him. They dare. They say, oh, there are other ways. I can work my way to heaven because I'm a good person. But there's only one way. Only one way. And the wrath of God abideth on him. Because they would dare say no. And God in his wrath will send that lost person to hell because they have rejected Jesus Christ. Folks, men and women are dying in our world today. They are rejecting Jesus Christ. Many today simply don't come to church because they're too bored when they come. I wish that we could give the same entertainment that Hollywood gives, but that's not what God wants. He wants us to preach the word. We know that there are those who say, I've got other things that I'm going to be doing on Sunday. I've got to take care of my lawn. I'm going on a trip. I've got all these other plans. And in the eyes of man, they seem okay. But God says, you need to know my Son. You need to accept my Son. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to change. Have you made that commitment to the Lord? Do you remember a day in which you said, Lord, I'm lost. I can't work my way to heaven. I need a Savior. And you prayed the sinner's prayer, asking the Lord to save your soul. And if you have, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Is it easy to be a born-again believer? Well, it's easy to accept Christ as your Savior, but it's hard to walk the walk. Does that mean we should just give up and say, oh, well? No. We should take it as a challenge. Take it as a challenge to be faithful to our Lord and Savior. Shall we stand together? We're going to be singing a song of invitation, 394. Can I ask you all to bow your heads? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. I'm not going to say, oh, you got to come to the platform, or not to the front and bow at the altar. It is now 11:55. The Bible says there's appointed unto man once to die. What if your time to die is at 12:12? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you prepared? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are you in good fellowship with the Lord? You believe it's important to be right with the Lord? Of course you do. That's why you're here. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song. The invitation is given, and you can come and you can pray here at the altar, or come to the front pew and sit there, or even sit where you're at. But I would hope this morning that you could say, I am prepared to meet my Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that the Holy Spirit would touch hearts. For Lord, we know He'll do a far better job than I can. We ask, Lord, now that Your will be done during this time. We pray for souls, Lord. If there's anyone lost here today, we ask, Lord, that they could come to know Thee as Savior. Lord, if there's one today that has drifted away, Lord, we pray that You would touch their hearts, convict them of their need to draw close. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.